Well, greetings this afternoon in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here. It's been rich. I've enjoyed it, sitting in, hearing the Word of God preached. I don't know if I have the heart shift. You get tired in the afternoon, you get sleepy. Sometimes when I sit throughout the day, I have the later morning could be the worst for me, but I did well today. Sometimes it's the afternoon, but trust that you can stay awake and soak in some more from the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to be still and know that you are God. We want to this afternoon see and get a glimpse once again of you, the refuge and the strength and the power that is yours. Pray that you would help me to proclaim your word, Father. Instill it deep within our hearts that we would grab a hold of it by faith. I pray that you would help this frail man to proclaim your word. Help our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I was blessed as Brother Jonathan dismissed you for the noon meal that a whole bunch of you, and I trust that all of you, it seemed pretty clear that you're spending time with the Lord and his word. I want to bless you for that. You keep doing that. You keep doing that. I would like to begin by reading a few scriptures, and I'd like your input as we read them. But I'd first like to read a couple of portions of scripture, and then I'd like to just ask a few questions. I'd like to approach the topic at hand from a little bit away and hope to lay some groundwork as we approach this subject. And I find myself trembling a little bit this afternoon. And I pray that God would give me grace to bring out what I believe is on my heart. So the first portion of Scripture is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 2 to verse 10. And I'd just like to read the account there. It says, "And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was not worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, for he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and I say unto another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Hold that story in your mind. I'm going to read another one. John chapter 20, verse 24 to 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and trust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, I just read two different accounts. If I could give you a little bit of an assignment, what is the connections that we can make with those two stories? Any ideas? What connections can we make? What can we pull out from one and say, well, this one's here and this one maybe this way? What can you pull out? Any thoughts?
One man needed only Jesus' word. One man needed to physically see Jesus.
Okay, anything else? Maybe I should say it this way. What's the difference? I think you're touching it for sure. What is the difference between the centurion and Thomas?
Faith.
Who said it? Faith. Faith. The question that I have this afternoon, I'd like us to ponder on, how does someone cause their faith to grow? If you and I are weak in faith, how could that grow? Any thoughts?
Testing.
There's no, I'm not going to say right answer, wrong answer, just thoughts. Someone hand back there? Amen. Any other thoughts? Amen.
Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
Prayer. Amen. Have you ever thought about that question? How could I cause my faith to grow? One of the things that I think of when I think of this question is that there's a verse found in Romans chapter 12. Just to add another aspect. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. I would believe that faith is also a gift from God, that God gives us faith. But does it seem to you, as it seems to me in Scripture, that some people are strong in faith, and some people are weak in faith? Do you get that picture when you read the Word of God? Some, it seems, are strong, some are weak. Are there ways in which that can grow? It's one of the questions I'd like to keep as a thought as we go forward from here. One way we all... There's a couple of ways that you mentioned, and they're all good. One of the brothers mentioned that, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does that work? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we hear the word of God, it causes our faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. What happens when we spend time in the Word of God? Again, thoughts. What happens to you and to me as we spend time in the Word of God?
We see ourselves as we are.
Anything else?
We see God for who He is.
Amen.
We're strengthened.
Amen. Did I see a hand back there? Or no?
We're fed.
Fed. Amen. All good thoughts. There's some verses that I noticed lately that sometimes you read verses again and again, and sometimes something jumps out at you. There's a brother preaching, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, and he went through the story of the disciples from Emmaus that were on the road to Emmaus. And you know the story that Jesus came alongside and started walking with them on the road. What was one of the things that he did to those disciples as they were walking? What did he do? One of the specific things that it says when he says that is concerning who? Concerning himself, right? I'll read the verses. And beginning at Moses, and I would have loved to hear this sermon. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. Again, in Luke 24, verse 44 to 45, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He's speaking to his disciples there, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning who? Concerning me, he says. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. So Jesus took them for a walk through Moses to the Psalms, to the prophecies, and he showed them himself in all those scriptures that he showed them. What can we learn with that? What can you learn as you meditate on the verses, on the fact that as Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, and he showed the disciples scriptures concerning himself. What does that do? What does that show you? What does that tell you?
That he wants us to know him.
Amen. Again, no right, wrong answer. I'm just trying to get us to think and ponder. There are some very powerful things that are hidden in those verses. Not hidden, they're there, but they're extremely powerful. What does it tell you about our God? As he goes way back into Psalms, into Moses, and he walks through Moses, and he walks through the Psalms, and he walks through the prophets, what does that tell you about our God and the Lord Jesus? Anything else?
Is the Ancient of Days and was in the beginning and will outlast everything.
Where our God sits, he can speak the beginning, he can speak the end from the beginning. He spoke, the Lord Jesus was embedded, so to speak, in the books of Moses. And in the Psalms, and in the prophecies that were given. Our God can speak the end from the beginning. Is that powerful? He's in control. He's sovereign. He can speak the end from the beginning. So the vein that I'd like to go down this afternoon is, who do we get to know as we spend time in the Word of God? Who do we get to know as we spend time in the Word of God and prayer? The next question I have for you, and I think you know the answer to that first question, right? Who do we get to know? The next question I have for you is, why is that important? Why is that important? That is the vein I'd like to go on down this afternoon. Why is that important? I was meditating upon different titles, but the one that I settled on, it could be different ones that one could use, but the one that I settled on was, great faith sees a great God. great faith has a view of a great God. And I'd like to talk to you this afternoon about the concept of God. And I'd like to question you this afternoon on what concept you have of God. In that topic, I'd like to talk about things like faith and other areas of the Christian walk and why, how all that connects. And I hope that God would give me the liberty and the grace to do that with you here this afternoon. Why is it important to get to know God? So then, flip back and forth a bit here, and I hope you can follow as we go along. How can someone's faith grow? If you're here this afternoon and you are determined that you're weak in faith, how could that grow? And sometimes I have pictures in my head that I need to put on the board, and I hope they make sense to you. But if we would do this, if we would draw a circle here, and we would put, this is our mind, and we would go like this. And I just keep going around that circle. And I would ask you, what am I doing? What is this? What could this mean? Our mind and plus and negative symbols around the outside. What could that tell you? If this illustration is on the board and you look at that thing, what comes to your mind? Think scripture and think different aspects of scripture. There are likely, if you spend some time pondering, you may come up with different ideas of what that could be. This diagram could be used to describe different angles. I'd just like to mention two, and I'd like to move ahead from there. And again, we're pondering the question, as we look at this subject, we're pondering the question, how can I cause my faith to grow? And we could look at this diagram and we could say, well, one way could be that the positive symbols could be likened unto truth. Truth that we find in the Word of God. And the negative symbols, we could say, well, we liken those to lies. Lies that you and I maybe could believe or tend to believe. And if we think of the question, how can I cause my faith to grow? Well, we could look at that diagram and say, well, one of the things that would need to happen is that I would need to make as many positives as I can here and stop believing lies. And the more of those negatives we can turn to positives, well, you could look at that and say, well, my faith would be strengthened, right? That's one way of describing the diagram. And that's good, right? You and I need to knock out lies out of our thinking and out of our believing. Otherwise, they can take us into tailspins. If we believe lies, they'll take us down wrong roads. So it's so critically important that we believe truth and we know truth. Because following a lie will take us a direction, right? Believing what is true is so important. We could turn to Philippians chapter 4 and read those verses. I have to make sure that I watch my clock. One of the first things that it says in that list, as far as what you and I should think on, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, whatsoever things are what? One of the first things in the list. True. So it's important to believe the truth. There can be examples we could look at of lies or truth in our thinking. Is it true that you are a good-for-nothing nobody? Is that true? You sometimes believe that? And then what does it do to you when you do believe? You see, those things can take us on tailspins. Is the invitation open this afternoon from God to you if you are needy? If you're a needy person here this afternoon, is there an invitation to you from God to come? For sure there is. That's true. There's many, many things that we could look at. Do you sometimes believe that God doesn't care? And what does that do to you? So this is an important part in our walk of faith, is believing and knowing the truth. It's essential. There's another way that diagram, and I'm gonna revert back to some of the teachings that I was involved with years ago in some of the charismatic teachings that I was listening to. This diagram, if I would have had to draw this diagram back then and just have this here, I would have probably said, well, I need to confess and speak positive things, and more so down the vein of I fully had accepted the teachings that whatsoever things I asked for, God has to do, and in order to make that happen is that you confess that those things, and you have positive confession, and you confess that those things have already happened even though they hadn't physically happened yet. You keep confessing them, and when you were at a place where this all was this way, then the reality of what you are asking for would come to fruition. Is that how faith grows? That's kind of like walking away from those teachings. I came to the realization I was having faith in my faith. Confess and positive thinking and believing that if I came to the place where all this is positive, well, then I would see that thing being materialized. I would see the actual miracle that I was asking for. So that was a lot of strain and stress, because it comes down to you. And the pressure is on you. Now, if you asked for something and it didn't come to pass, your faith was to blame. You just didn't have enough of it. The pressure was on you. So with this diagram, the two diagrams I draw, you could probably draw more. Is that where it begins and ends with our faith and growth? Is that where it begins and ends? I'd like to draw more diagrams on the board this afternoon. See, there must be a connection to a foundation with this diagram. If we think of even what we mentioned before, believing the truth and standing on the truth, there must be a connection to a foundation. And that's where I would like to talk about our concept of God. Our concept of God is very important in the Christian life. If you just take the two messages that we heard this morning, and without a proper concept of who God is, at the very foundation, it would make living out those two messages very hard, very difficult. But if we take those two messages and bring them down and establish and stand them on the right foundation, it makes it a lot easier. So I'd like to go down to that foundation here this afternoon. Our concept of God doesn't and never changes who He is. But it does change it for us. It matters for us. The way we think about God will never changes who in reality He is. But there's an effect on our life of what our concept of God is. It matters. If we have a wrong view of God, it doesn't change who He is, but for me it does. For me it does, if I have a wrong view of God. And one of the things that I appreciate about pondered those words many times, there's two questions that the Apostle Paul asked on the road to Damascus. What was the first one? Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? So diagrams, I think a bit in pictures, so they do break down, but this is how I think. Is this one sharp? Can you see it? So let's draw diagrams just to get some different ideas. So this first diagram, I drew a bigger me. And this is supposed to be an anchor that goes into God, and we'll liken that anchor unto our faith. There's a song that says, "Will my anchor hold?" So this diagram is me, and it's anchored into God. The second diagram, I'll go me, and I'll anchor it into a bigger God. If you had to come up and draw a third diagram, what would you draw? I will draw a third one, and it's going to fail miserably, but I'll still draw it. I don't even know how to do this. I'll cut right through here. And I'll just make a straight line. And I'll put myself up here. This is where it fails a bit. And then I'll put an anchor in here. And then maybe I'll go like this. What am I trying to do? Do you have an imagination?
Show that God is bigger than the board.
Yeah, this is supposed to say God. It's the biggest I can do with what I have here, okay? It's the third diagram. So if you can imagine with me, and that's where my imagination, I tend to have an active imagination, but if you can imagine this is a circle, okay? And it just keeps stretching forever. And it's so huge on the bottom that it just keeps going and going and going, and it's so very big. And in all reality, I'm just trying to draw God, but it's not possible. But it's the best I can do with the board. So you get the picture? There's three diagrams on the board, and I'll call those three different concepts of God. Now, I don't know if you can put yourself in any one of those. If you had to come up here this afternoon, and I'd like to talk about those a bit. If you had to come up here this afternoon and place yourself in a certain concept of your understanding or view of God that you're walking through life with, where would you put yourself? Now here, I can't do this, but I mean, there are so many words, we don't have time. But this one is, I mean, he's all powerful. He's all knowing. If we try to put all his attributes into this circle, we'd be writing for a very long time. And we can't do this afternoon, because we'd just be going on and on and on. And that's not necessarily exactly where I want to go. I just want us to think about our concept of God. There may be more diagrams, and as you ponder on these things, you may come up with more, and that's okay. That would describe where you are at. That would describe your concept of what you have of God. There may be more. I'd like to ask another question. Your current view of God, what has shaped it? The view that you're sitting here this afternoon with of God, what has shaped that? The concept that you have of God. What is shaping it? What is giving it shape in your life? Any thoughts? I'm asking for the reality, so I'm not going to make you talk. And the question that I then have for you, is that view accurate? Do you have an accurate view of who God is? There are some warnings found in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22. You could look at them at some time. There's a warning there of people that have changed an incorruptible God in something that became corruptible. And the effects on those lives were huge. God is who He is. We can't change Him with our concept and our view. It does matter for us how we look at Him. So what are things that can shape our concept of God and our view of Him? You may have heard that a father has a very strong impact upon a child's life, which is very, very true. The way a father is in the home can shape a child's view of who God is. So that view could be shaped by something that isn't accurate. But yet we could walk away from that view, that experience, and our view of God has taken shape. So in other words, if I had a harsh father in my life, I could walk away from that experience thinking that's how God is. But is that how God is? You see, that's what I mean. With sometimes we can take some things along with us in our thinking, and we have a view and concept of God, but is it true? Is it accurate? Our experiences that we go through, especially if someone has gone through very, very hard and tough experiences, they could walk away with a view that says, God doesn't care. Nothing works out in my life. He just simply doesn't care. And I've heard people get emotional when they've said that. But the experiences that they went through has shaped their view of God. But my question here this afternoon, is that view accurate? That's where we have to go to the Word of God and let that shape our view. Because we could walk away with a wrong concept of God. Maybe we're not finding victory in certain areas of our life. And we walk away from that. God isn't all powerful, otherwise it would change. God doesn't care. Is that true? So I want to just ask you this question here this afternoon. Has our God, Has our concept of God changed to something that He is not? And are you along for that ride of believing a concept of God on which He is not? The next question I have is, would these different views of God make any difference in the believer's life? And one thing that I want to say, and I want to encourage you in, I don't want you to sit here this afternoon and feel that you're stuck. You have to be stuck with a wrong view of God. That's not my point. You don't have to be stuck there. I just want to encourage us to not be going down the road of believing something of God and accepting something of God that is not true. You don't have to be stuck there. You don't have to be stuck with a wrong concept of God. There are ways that we can learn to know Him. And one of the tremendous blessings that He's given us His own Word. So we don't have to be stuck there. But this next question is, would these different views of God make any difference in the believer's life? If we're over here, and this is our view of God, you know, He is bigger than I am. Of course He's bigger than I am. But, I mean, He has His limits, right? We wouldn't necessarily say that, but is that what we believe? And if I'm puffed up over here, I see myself as being very capable. I'm a fix-it-all. I can take care of most things in my life that come along. But ever so often, I just need a little bit of backup. You know, I just need a little bit of help to come over some humps that I'm facing. And God, you know, He's there as the backup when I don't manage. Is that the concept that we have and are walking through life with? Or are we over here where we're anchored into a rock? Have you ever tried pulling something out that was very stuck and the machine that you used to pull it out just went boom? Over here, there's an anchor into a rock. So would our different views of God make any difference in the believer's life? Would it make any difference in your faith? Would it make a difference in your faith with the concept that you are walking today with of God? Would it make any difference in your faith whether you have this view or this view or this view of God? Would there be any difference in your faith? For sure there would be. Think of this verse. Think of David. Listen to what he said. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. David said, if I am faced with 10,000 people that have gathered themselves around me and are coming against me, he said, I will not be afraid. What kind of view did he have of God? What was his concept of God? Was it this one? Was it this one? Or was it this one? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said to the king, King, you can throw us in that fire. And if God wants to save us, he will. And if not, then know for sure we're not going to bow down to your image. What kind of view did those men have of God? Was God huge to them? For sure he was. If we looked at the list in Hebrews chapter 11 and we just read down that list, what moved those men? What moved them? Who told Noah to build the ark? Very foundational. Who told Noah to build the ark? Which God? very, very huge God told Noah to build the ark. A very, very huge God told Noah to build the ark. Noah said, God said so. God said so. Faith must have a foundation. Does our foundation here this afternoon have the power to fulfill, have the power to come through, has the power to do what it said it would deliver? The foundation that you and I are standing on, can it deliver? It must be able to deliver. Otherwise, it is no solid foundation at all. There's cars speeding down the main highway between Jackson and Vicksburg, Mississippi. Those drivers of those cars one night were dependent upon their cars. They had trust in their vehicles. They trusted the road that they were on. Little did they know that they were coming to a bridge that was out. And as they sped along, one after another plunged into the water. Guaranteed that will happen to all of us if we're trusting in the wrong foundation. Ploop, 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 ploop. Faith must have a foundation, otherwise it's worthless. It must have a foundation. Our trust, small view, ourselves bigger, God as huge and magnificent. What effect would that have on your trust? Is your trust level pretty shaky? Or do you feel that you are rock solid? There's another story that was told of this German. Forgive me if I can't pronounce this word. He studies flowers. And he was interested in flowers. What's the name? Botanist? Botanist, okay. He was traveling in Turkey and he saw this rare flower hanging from an inaccessible precipice. He offered 10 and then 20, then half a sovereign pieces of money, and finally 1 pound. So he kept going up. To a tempted but hesitating boy, if he would be slung over with a rope and cut the plant. So this man was intending to sling this boy over the precipice, and he would hold the rope, and then the little boy would cut the flowers and he would pull him right back up. But this little boy was hesitant. And then finally this little boy had an idea. He wanted that money. He was tempted. Guess what the little boy did? Yes, he said, I'll go and get my father and he will hold the rope. That's the exact same way it works in our relationship with God. The exact same way. Who's holding your rope? Who is holding your rope? Would our different views of God affect our insecurities? I don't know if you're sitting here this afternoon and you're insecure. You feel that you're not firm. You feel that you're floating loose. You're not settled. You're not grounded. Would our view of God be affected in that area? Would our concept of God affect the insecurities that we have in our life? Do you think they would? Do you think it matters? If you are insecure this afternoon about who you are, even about how God made you, even about the abilities that you have, about your friendships, about whatever area that you're insecure about, how is that supposed to change? I'd like to just take us through a bit of a walk here, just try and do this quickly. The story of Moses, you all know the story well. Moses in the fiery bush. I'd just like to take us through a walk to that account just very quickly. Moses' response and God's response. So Moses walked over to the fiery bush and God started talking to Moses out of the fiery bush. And let's listen to their conversation, see what we can pick up. And I'd like to ask the question, do you think Moses was insecure? And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And I just took out their conversation. And then God says, this is what God says. He says, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. What was God's response to Moses when Moses said that, who am I? What was God say? He said, I will be with thee. The big God. The big God said, I will be with thee. Moses' response, and Moses said unto God, behold, I come unto the When I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God's response. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. The big God. And shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, oh, what is his name? And God says, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The big God. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And we know the story. God says, throw the rod in the ground. It became a stake, a snake. What was God trying to show Moses? The big God. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherfore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue. I can't talk very well. What did God say? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? The big God had made man's mouth. And then finally Moses said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Another translation would say, O my Lord, please send someone else. Do you think Moses was insecure? How did that change? Was the Moses that led the children of Israel through the wilderness still insecure? What changed? I believe the thing that changed, he got to know the big God, and it took care of insecurities. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not for fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. He saw the big God. We're insecure this afternoon. Those insecurities will largely go away as you develop a relationship with the God of heaven and earth. You get to know your Father in heaven, and your insecurities will largely just go away. I'm pretty sure that the believers who are secure and confident in their relationship with God have a firm grip on the concept of who God is. I am pretty sure. They have a firm grip on who God is. And that comes out in their life as security and confidence. Not confidence in themselves, confidence in the big God. What will that concept of God do to your purpose, to our purpose? Think again. What would a concept of God, when you have that big view of God, do to your purpose? What would it do to your courage? Who is the one that said, don't be afraid? And I need this message as well this afternoon, as well as likely you do. Who is the one that said, do not be afraid, for I will be with thee? Did this God say that to you? Or this God? Or did this God? It'll affect every area of your life. It will. There's a story that, speaking of courage, there's a story that was told, and I love this story. It almost makes me emotional every time I read it. During the French War, a train carrying dispatches to the headquarters was compelled to go over 60 miles of very rough track and reach its destination within an hour. The engineer was the bearer of the dispatches, and his wife and child were in the coach. Every moment threatened to pitch the train over the embankment or over a bridge. And as it rolled from side to side, leaping at times almost in the air, rushing past stations, the few people inside held their breath and often cried out with terror as they sped along. There was one on that train who knew nothing of their fears, and that was the child of the engineer. Happy as a bird, she laughed aloud when asked if she were not afraid, and looked up and answered, "Why, my father's at the engine." A little later, the engineer came into the car to cheer up his wife, and as he wiped the great drops of sweat from his face, the child leaped into his arms and laid her head upon his bosom, as happy and peaceful as when at home. A big view of God will translate into our lives in all those areas. When we're faced with giving stuff up, or should I call it disobedience, or obedience, who is the God that is asking you to give something up? Is it the little God? Is it the God that's even smaller than you are? Or is it a almighty, magnificent God that is asking you to give something up? It will affect you. It will affect every area of our life. Our concept of God will affect every area of our life. This afternoon, young people, do you believe that God is good? Do you really believe it? Do you believe this afternoon that God is all-powerful? Do you believe this evening or this afternoon that God is all-knowing? Is that your view of God? Keep learning and growing in who He is, and the effects on your life will be huge. They will be huge. They will bring a confidence into your life, a God-given confidence, not in yourself, but a secure, quiet confidence in an almighty, all-knowing God who is magnificent, who speaks the end from the beginning. The one who can actually do something about what He has promised. He can come through. That's the God that we should have in our mind and in our view as we go through life. There's many stories that could be read, but there was this little boy, and you probably heard this story many times. I love it every time I read it. The little boy was standing on the banks of the Mississippi River, waving and shouting at a steamboat that was going by. He was beckoning the steamboat to come to shore. A stranger came by and said, "That's foolish, young man. The boat will never come ashore because of your request. The captain is too busy to notice your waving and shouting." So the steamboat never came ashore. Or did it? Just then the boat turned and headed for shore. The little boy grinned and said to the stranger, "The captain is my daddy." Do you have that concept of who God is this afternoon? Get to know your Father. Get to know your Father. He's revealed to us through His Word. He'll be revealed to us as we spend time with Him. He's revealed to us through His Son. He's revealed to us through His Holy Spirit. Get to know Him. You need it in your life. I didn't spend a lot of time on the hows to get to know Him, so I'm just going to leave that to you for homework. My desire here this afternoon was just to lay that upon your heart. It does matter how you look at God. It does matter. It will affect you. And if you want to see your faith grow, one of the four sure ways that you can do that is to get to know the big God. Get to know the big God, and your faith will grow. Because He can deliver on every promise that He made. He's got the power to do so. He's got the power to come through on every single one. Get to know Him. If you're insecure and you're floundering, get to know your Father in heaven. Young people sometimes struggle with insecurities. They struggle how they look. They struggle in relationships. They struggle in their abilities. They struggle in their giftings. Insecure, unsettled. Get to know the one who made you. Get to know the one who gave you the abilities that you do have. The one that makes no mistake. And it'll firm you right up. I'm not going to say that you're not going to struggle with any insecurities anymore, but that is largely the path that you have to travel to become secure, is get to know your Father in heaven. And it seems that there's an aspect in all of this that it has to be revealed to us. Our God is so magnificent, and yet He can stay hidden. It comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's revealed to us through that. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Has the Son revealed the Father to you? May that only grow and blossom in your life as you grow in your walk with God. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for being our Father. Give us eyes to see You. Help Thou our unbelief. I think so many times I walk with a concept of God, of You, that is way too small. And I pray that for each one of us here this afternoon, we would see You. We would get a glimpse of the one that spoke the world into creation. We would get a glimpse of the one that gave the promises that we are standing on. We would get a glimpse of who You are, and that our anchor is in one that's immovable. You cannot move. You cannot be shaken. Help us to see You, Father. Help the eyes of faith in each one of these dear young people see You high and lifted up. And that's inviting us to come into a relationship with the God of heaven and earth. May we only grow in our view of who You are. And if there's someone here that has a warped view of who You are, may that change. May You put Your finger on those areas and speak to that heart Help us to get to know you, Father. In Jesus' name.